Well, this morning we're reading from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew again. We're reading from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. That's continuing from last week's scripture. Let us listen for the word of God for us, for our world, for all God's children. And I do invite you to listen for any words or phrases that stand out for you or that we might want to share as a congregation. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. Now I would invite any... Let your light shine, yes. Thank you for saying that loudly and boldly. Sharon. Jesus said, "I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill." I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill or complete the law. Good words. Lots of good words in here. Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. As a Jew, I believe that there is a right way to do things and there is a wrong way to do things. There's a right way to live and a wrong way. There's a right way to believe and a wrong way. It's black or white, good or bad, right or wrong. There really is no gray in between. You either follow the rules or you don't. It's not complicated. How many of you folks believe in general that there is always a black or white answer or right way? I was raised in a good religious family. My father was a stern but fair man. If you're going to do something, you might as well do it right, he would often say. He didn't expect or demand anything from me that he didn't demand from himself. It really bugs me when people don't seem to care about excellence when they do something, especially when they do something for others especially when they do it for God. You know, there is a tradition, a way of life that is all about doing the right thing and doing it the right way. It started with Moses. He had a lot of people to lead and watch over and protect. They had been slaves in Egypt for so long that they had forgotten how to think for themselves. They had followed someone else's demands for so long that they didn't know how to tell right from wrong unless someone told them. So Moses told them. Moses was not a slave. He had learned to think for himself. He had made mistakes, but learned from them. And he walked with God and learned to follow God's guidance, God's rules for a good life, a righteous life, the right way to live. So when Moses found himself leading thousands of lost souls out of slavery through the desert and toward the promised land, he followed God's guidance and offered some basic rules for life. 10 Commandments, they called it. I call it God's rules for life. If you want to live a good life, it's a no-brainer. Follow these simple rules. Follow the 10 Commandments and live in covenant relationship with God. Break the 10 Commandments and live in broken relationship with God. It's that simple. Now, there are a lot more rules in first century Jerusalem. Over the years, the people still couldn't seem to think for themselves, so the leaders had to interpret those original 10 Commandments into hundreds of thou shalls and thou shalt nots. It still comes down to doing what's right, following the rules, and striving for excellence. The priests were pretty clear about that until the Romans invaded and demanded their own version of obedience. The priests sometimes fudged the rules so they could accommodate what the Romans wanted and keep their own power and influence. The Pharisees, on the other hand, like my father, were determined to follow God's rules. The 10 Commandments and all the interpretations that have been handed down over the years. My father says, if you start fudging the rules, you'll soon have no rules worth following. They just won't mean anything. Take, for instance, this teacher named Jesus, who has been coming around lately. He is a Jew like me, but he has some strange new ideas. My father was really upset when he heard Jesus teach in the synagogue about a new kingdom that seemed to operate by different rules. He was especially upset when Jesus advocated breaking the Sabbath, one of God's most important rules. Not only that, but Jesus turned around and healed a man right there in the synagogue on the Sabbath, claiming that doing good is lawful whether it follows all the rules or not. Ooh, was my father mad when he came home. I didn't mind Jesus doing good, healing that man, or he didn't mind that, but insinuating that following the rules doesn't matter, that was dangerous. That kind of thinking could destroy our way of life. It could destroy this nation. Well, a friend of mine invited me to go and hear this Jesus. He was going to be preaching on a hillside not far from here. So I thought I ought to go listen. We packed up a lunch and headed out early in the morning, which was a good thing because people came from everywhere. As it was, we barely got close enough where we could hear Jesus speak. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I really like righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now I could go along with these teachings. God has always blessed the poor, the widows and orphans, even the foreigners, as long as they lived by the rules. And I don't know how many times Father has been reviled and persecuted himself for holding fast to the law. That's what he does. I'm sure he will receive his reward in heaven. But I was intrigued by Jesus speaking of saltiness, reminding us that God has set us Jews apart for a special purpose, to be a blessing to all the nations on earth in this life. But if we lose our saltiness, our covenant relationship with God, then we will be worthless, thrown out and trampled underfoot, he said. Of course, surely that means teaching the nations to follow God's commandments, God's covenant. Following God's commandments has been central to our nation from the very beginning. Surely this is what we have to offer to the rest of the nations, a way of life, rules for living, following God's commandments, the way of shalom, the way to the good life. This is surely what Jesus meant by saying, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." We must let the light of God's law shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. I can see that Jesus does have an appreciation for the law, for doing things the right way. And I was convinced when he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished." I don't know what Father was so upset about. Jesus claims to have come to fulfill the law, to complete it. If anything, he seems even stricter than my father. He taught against murder, but even more against the anger that might lead to murder. He taught against adultery, but even more against the lust that might lead to it. And the dehumanization behind both of these and other rules. He stepped on some toes when he taught that God is against divorce. It has become too common in our day, too easy and demeaning to women in particular. And he taught against swearing an oath, but rather to let your yes be an honest yes, and our no be an honest no. Honor people with truth, all people. I must admit that Jesus caught me off guard when he said to turn the other cheek when struck in the face, to give up my undergarments when someone sued me for my outer cloak, to carry a forced burden twice as far as was required by the Roman soldiers, to give to anyone who asks, and worst, to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? I don't remember hearing this in the synagogue. But our enemies are God's enemies, aren't they? Does God love his enemies? Does God have enemies? He went on to teach us to give alms and to pray, not for prestige, but because it is the right thing to do, the loving thing to do. He taught us to put our focus on God and God's kingdom when we pray. In fact, he said we should put our complete trust in God and not worry about the details. Not worry about the details? Trust in God, he said. Focus on kingdom living. Expect God to come through you to provide. And then finally, the golden rule. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Hey, that's where he started this sermon, on that mountain. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill them. Jesus has come to fulfill the biblical story, to complete God's purposes of redeeming and reconciling the whole earth. Now I get it. The law was a tool that God gave, rules not to inhibit life, but to enhance life in relationship with God. Jesus didn't abolish the Ten Commandments, as some believe. Jesus came to fulfill them and to clarify that they are all about love. Love God and love your neighbor, and put that love into practice, actions, not just words or even feelings. I just have to wonder what this message of Jesus will turn into 1,000 years from now, or 2,000. In 2026, Grand Junction, First Christian Church, following Jesus still means to be formed into the image of Jesus through the disciplines of study, worship, prayer, service, and generosity, and to be strengthened into becoming powerful agents for the good that God is still doing in our world, to become agents of God's love in our congregation, our neighborhood, the world around us. That really does put all the law into perspective. It simplifies it, but makes it so much more complete, and also much more important. It's like a way of life, the way of life. Love God and love your neighbor with all that you have and all that you are. Be a follower of Jesus. like Jesus, be the image of God in human form. Love for all. Now that is the law that we can live with today. Love. Our take-home thought for consideration: how do we today show love for our neighbors in 2026? In the face of war and divisiveness, temptations everywhere, how do we show love for our neighbors? Will you pray with me? Strong yet gentle God, we thank you for your mighty works, for leading your people through the centuries, the millenniums, bringing people into loving relationship and sending them out to shine that love like a city on the hill. Thank you for calling us at First Christian Church to do this very thing, to shine your love out into this neighborhood and beyond. Oh God, thank you for loving us so strongly and so comfortably and with your forgiveness. Lead us forward always. Always following Jesus in your image in this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.